Good morning.
Ministries and a Blog Talk Radio listeners. It is truly a privilege this morning. I am Minister Janice Tate, and I am your Sunday school teacher for the next couple weeks as we finish up the book of 2 Corinthians. Let's pray. Father, right now we thank you for the privilege to be able to enter into your presence together, to look at words that you breathed on mankind to write, and more importantly, to teach us, show us what you would have us to see today, Holy Spirit. Confirm it in our hearts and solidify it in our mind. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we take up 2 Corinthians, we will be in chapter 10 today. And we have been through most of the entire book, where Paul is writing one of his many letters to the church at Corinth, but we only have two in our hands. And these evidently must be very important letters. We know in this letter Paul has taken time to defend himself against false accusations and basically some bad mouthing that's been going on about Paul and Silas and Timothy, who have founded the church in Corinth. And when they left, as usual, false prophets, false apostles have come behind them. So we're going to pick up in chapter 10, and I'm going to read with you verses 1 through 6 in the New Living Translation, which reads as follows. Now I, Paul, appeal to you with the gentleness and kindness of Christ, though I realize that I am timid in person and bold only when I write. Well, I am begging you now so that when I come, I won't have to be bold with those who think we act from human motives. We are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. After you have become fully obedient, we will punish everyone who remains disobedient. Now, Paul is defending, as the title tells us in our Bible, that Paul is defending his authority. So it's assumed that Paul is only writing tough letters. As a matter of fact, it kind of seems like these false apostles that have come behind Paul and are bad-mouthing him are saying he's only tough when he writes a letter, but in person, he's really not that tough a guy. And Paul is telling this church that when I come, I want to be just regular Paul, but I can be bold and I will be bold. But he's not claiming he's going to be bold because they're talking about him. Paul is telling them that what they're dealing with is not of Christ. What they're going through is not what Christ has died to save them to. They are going through what many of us go through, false teachers, false apostles who come in, people who come in to take advantage of God. So he's saying, when I come to you, I will come just as boldly as I wrote to you. But when I come, verse 3, he says, I'm not coming like human beings. I'm not coming to defend myself against their accusations as a man would or fight with them. I am coming, as verse 4 tells us, and I will use the weapons of God, God's mighty weapons. And in this, Paul is specifically talking about the word of truth, the gospel that has saved these people. And that is what will destroy human reasoning, not Paul and his eloquence of speech or his strong tone. He's saying we don't fight against people the way people fight. His argument will be to challenge the people based on what Christ has taught through him. So those are the weapons that he will use to dispute their accusations, tear down their arguments, so that the people can be brought back into obedience to Christ and not to these false apostles. And he says that when they get back in obedience, then he can deal with these false apostles. He can show that he has been called by God, and these people haven't. All right? So when people in the church of Corinth obey, those who remain in rebellion will be dealt with. Picking up at verse 7, look at the obvious facts. Those who say they belong to Christ must recognize that we belong to Christ as much as they do. I may seem to be boasting too much about the authority given to us by the Lord, but our authority builds you up. It doesn't tear you down. So I will not be ashamed of using my authority, for I'm not trying to frighten you by my letters. For some say, Paul's letters are demanding and forceful, but in person he is weak and his speeches are worthless. Those people should realize that our actions when we arrive in person will be forceful, will be as forceful as what we say in our letters from far away. Stopping at verse 11 there. So those who are causing division by speaking against Paul should know that Paul serves Christ. And Paul belong, and if they belong to Christ, they know this. But it's obvious they don't belong to Christ by their attacks on Paul. They speak against his authority in the church that God sent him to plant and disciple and encourage and discipline. Paul is not threatened by their claims of his only speaking harsh in letters or being a weak preacher, because really this is what they're saying. They're saying, look, this guy Paul, not very statuesque, not very flamboyant, not an eloquent speaker. This guy Paul, he's a little guy, and at this point, Paul's been beaten and shipwrecked, so he's probably got a few battle scars. And they're trying to say, this guy, he just talks tough in his letters because he's a great writer, but in person, he's not that tough. But Paul is saying, oh, no. I am authorized by God. My authority is not from my position or my title. My authority comes from God, And when I come, I will use that authority on his behalf to defend myself, not your type of authority. Verse 12 through 16. Oh, don't worry. We wouldn't dare say that we are as wonderful as these other men who tell you how important they are. But they are only comparing themselves to each other, using themselves as the standard measurement. How ignorant. We will not boast about things done outside our area of authority. We will boast only about what has happened within the boundaries of the work God has given us, which includes our working with you. We're not reaching beyond these boundaries when we claim authority over you as if we had never visited you, for we were the first to travel all the way to Corinth with the good news of Christ. Nor do we boast and claim credit for the work someone else has done. Instead, we hope that our faith will grow so the boundaries of our work among you will be extended. Then we will be able to go and preach the good news in other places far beyond you where no one else is working. Then there will be no question of our boasting about work done in someone else's territory. I'll stop right there at verse 16. So again, Paul is dealing with false apostles. The ones speaking against him boast about their own greatness amongst each other. In other words, they're comparing themselves to each other, and therefore they only see themselves. So it's like looking in a mirror and arguing with yourself, or looking in a mirror and comparing beauty standards to what you see and not looking around and seeing what other things are out there or other people are doing. So when you compare yourself by yourself, you're only dealing with yourself. You don't know how someone else is. And so Paul is saying about these people, that's how they compare themselves. They compare themselves with each other, and it's ignorant. And for you all listening out there, I hope that you don't think when your Christian walk that you are the standard for your Christian walk. I hope you don't think I am the standard for a Christian walk. Paul says in one of his letters, follow me as I follow Christ. In other words, Christ is the standard. Christ and Christ alone is who we are to look to, who we are being conformed into the likeness of. He's the standard. And when he's the standard and we compare ourselves to him, we find out how short we fall in most of our day. We find out that he is Lord and we're not. But these super apostles like to boast among themselves. Oh, I'm better than Pastor so-and-so. I'm better than Pastor Timothy. I'm better than Pastor Paul. I'm better than. They're comparing themselves to each other. They're not comparing themselves to the standard, Christ Jesus. And Paul says it's ignorant. But he says we're not going to boast about those kind of things. We're only going to boast about what's happening where God gave us to do the work. They're only boasting about the work that they have done for the Lord. And they were the first people to go to Corinth with the good news. Remember the Great Commission and then in Acts where Jesus tells them, go into the world. And then he says, go to the Jerusalem, start in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and then to the uttermost parts. Well, Paul has been called by God to minister to the Gentiles. So he's gone into the uttermost parts. And the church at Corinth was one of the places that Paul established a church in. He spent, 3 to 5 years establishing this church in Corinth. So he didn't go outside of what God had given him to do. So he's only going to talk about, he boasts about the church at Corinth. He boasts about the church at Galatia. He boasts about the church at Ephesus because these were the places that God sent him with the good news. And he looks forward to going beyond those places in time, not about his own reputation for being a super great apostle. Note, Paul is not just talking about himself, But he's also talking about, if you look in chapter 1 at verse 19, that Paul came with Timothy and Silas to establish this church. So he's not just even both. So the attack is not just against Paul. It's against his whole team. Paul wasn't by himself. Paul ministered there. Timothy and Silas were right by his side, and they only relied on the authority of Christ to teach this church and establish it. All right? But let's look at verse 17 and 18 and shore up what Paul was talking about. He says, as the scriptures say, if you want to boast, boast only about the Lord. Verse 17, it says, as the scriptures say. Okay, students, we're listening. What scriptures did Paul have to go by? Paul only had the Old Testament. So let's go look at the scripture that Paul is referencing. Turn in your Bibles or on your phones or your iPads to Jeremiah chapter 9, and let's look at verse 24. Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 24, where we read, but those who wish to boast should boast in this alone, that they truly know me and understand that I am the Lord, who demonstrates unfailing love and who brings justice and righteousness to the earth, and that I delight in these things. I, the Lord, have spoken. So the prophet Jeremiah is saying that only to boast in knowing Jesus, the Lord, God, only boast in the Lord. And he's saying that why? Because the Lord is the only one worthy to boast about. We wouldn't have salvation if it wasn't for the Lord. There would be no deliverance, no healing. There would be no church at Corinth if there wasn't for the Lord. And so he's saying, boast in the Lord. So this is who Paul is referencing in back in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 17, when he says, as the scriptures say, if you boast, want to boast, boast only about the Lord. Don't boast about super apostles and bishops and pastors and teachers and leaders. Boast about the Lord. Boast about how the Lord is using them, how the Lord is teaching you through them, how the Lord is delivering them so they can be stronger and they can do. Boast about the Lord. Amen? All right, verse 18. When people commend themselves, doesn't count for much. The important thing is for the Lord to commend you. There's an expression, don't blow your own horn or toot your own horn. Don't celebrate yourself. I know we live in a world where it's all about me. Everybody is uplifting themselves. But if you're weak and you're uplifting yourself, you have to be awfully, that person you're lifting has to be weak. If you're weak and you're uplifting yourself, the person who's lifting you is weak. Don't boast about yourself. You don't have to celebrate yourself. The Lord celebrates you. Will he use others? Yes. Let the Lord commend you. Will he use others? Of course. Will he commend you? Yes. Evidence. When Jesus came from the water, yes, who Jesus is, he's God. He said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. He commended Jesus to the world that was listening at that time. So if he did it for his own son, how much more will he do it for those of us who are the sons of God? Let's go into chapter 11. Some of you are probably looking at, this is terrible. We're surveying the book of 2 Corinthians and picking up little nuggets. So when you go back and read, you'll have better understanding of the context of Paul's letter. So he moves forward addressing these false prophets. Chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. I hope you will put a little up a little with a little more of my foolishness. Please bear with me. For I'm jealous for you with the jealousy of God himself. I promised you as a pure bride to one husband, Christ. But I fear that somehow your pure and undivided devotion to Christ will be corrupted, just as Eve was deceived by the cunning ways of the serpent. You happily put up with whatever anyone tells you, even if they preach a different Jesus than the one we preach, or a different kind of spirit than the one you received, or a different kind of gospel than the one you believed. Wow. First of all, let's deal with Paul talking about being jealous. This is not jealous as where I'm envious. This is jealous where there's a passionate zeal for someone to be, it's like a friend who has a married friend, and they see somebody approaching the spouse of that friend. They're protective of that relationship because they know that couple is in covenant. And so when they see outsiders trying to infiltrate that relationship, if they're a good, loyal friend, they will do some things. They might even say something. Hey, he's married. She's married. They belong to somebody else. They'll try to block because not because they're jealous of that relationship. They're jealous. They're protective for that relationship. Paul is telling the church at Corinth, you belong to Christ. Believers are the bride of Christ. And because we belong to him, we don't belong to any other. He's our good shepherd. He is the shepherd of the sheep. And so since we belong to him, he is our husband, our covering, our keeper. Paul is jealous of that relationship that now these false apostles have come in and trying to infiltrate it. And so much so that he's understanding that people are now being divided in their devotion to Christ because they're listening to things that are other Christ, other Jesuses. Another, well, you know, this is when, well, Jesus isn't really God, or Jesus really didn't die on the cross, or Jesus did. They're listening to other things other than what Paul taught. Remember in 1 Corinthians, he said, when I came to you, I didn't come with eloquence or words. I came preaching Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's it. I didn't come telling you about all the blessings and the breakthroughs you're going to have. I came to you talking about Jesus and him crucified for your sins, for your redemption, and raising from the dead. That's what he preached to the church of Corinth. That's what saved them, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. So he didn't come preaching us. So he's telling them, watch out for people who come in with another Jesus. Watch out for another people who come in telling you the Holy Spirit is not the Holy Spirit. Oh, it's just an emotion. It's just a feeling. Oh, he's a force. Oh, he's energy. He is God. So he's saying, don't fall for this. Oh, you don't have the Holy Spirit when you get saved. You have to work, and then he'll come. But Christ is in you, the hope of glory. And once you accept Christ, the Holy Spirit comes in and seals you immediately and comes to dwell with you. All right? So he's saying, watch out for that teaching. And then another gospel. There's many ways to Christ. No, there's only one way. Jesus said clearly in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So there's only one gospel. There's only one Christ. There's only one Spirit. There's only one God. And so Paul is telling these people, I'm afraid of what's happening to you. I'm afraid that you're being corrupted and being divided because you're listening to these false apostles, these people who are coming and telling you other things other than the foundation that Timothy, Silas, and I laid in you when we started this church. And they're doing it by separating these people in Corinth from Paul. They're trying to drive a wedge between the earthly father of their church, Paul, who started it. And if they can downplay Paul, they can get access. And this is one of the things that we have to look out for today. People who are desperately, there are many false teachers. If you read the New Testament, almost every book of the New Testament addresses false teachers. Jesus addresses false teachers because he's saying you got to be wise. You got to know the word. You have to know the truth. You have to know with assured who Jesus is. You have to know who the Holy Spirit is. You need to know who the Holy Spirit is so we won't turn him into some spooky, weird, emotional outpouring. He's God in the He's God the Spirit. We have to know the gospel, the true gospel, so that there won't be many roads to God. There's only one way. We have to know these things. Because when you know these things, which are the truth, then you now have God's mighty weapons to tear down strongholds, to tear down thoughts and teachings of people when they come up against what is the truth. You want to dispute lies? Know the truth. Jesus said it. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth will also keep you from being influenced by false teachers. We see this today more than ever in our world. There's so much deception going on. There's so many people lie like they breathe nowadays, unfortunately. But the best way to tell whether somebody is lying is to know the truth, is to know the truth. Just like somebody could come to me and they could say my address is 12345 West Street. I know my address. I know where I live. And no matter how many times they tell me that, even if they keep repeating over and over and over again, all I have to do is go outside and look at my address on my house, look at my license, look at the places where it tells me my address over and over again, and I know the truth. So no matter how many times I hear it, I'm not moved by it. This is why we're in Sunday school this morning. This is why you have to be in Bible study. This is why you need to be in a fellowship with other believers, because we need to know the truth. Because as we'll continue next week, these false apostles, they look good, but they are destructive. And the church at Corinth does not stand to this day. So we need to find out why we need to be strong in the Lord and using his mighty weapons. Amen? Just going to close out with a little prayer, because I want you all to really focus on getting into the word of God. Your word is truth, Father. We thank you for it. We bless your name today. We look forward to what you're going to do today. But Lord, more importantly, help us to be strong and to be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in your work, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen, Sister Janice. That was a powerful lesson this morning, false teachers and knowing the truth. And that was an excellent example, just knowing your address. You know what you know. So when you know what you know, then can't nothing come against you. Okay, yeah. So thank you for that lesson. It was thorough and straight to the point. And we just can't wait to hear more. Thank you, and we appreciate you.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
Amen. All right, we will have a song, and then we're going to go right into our service. We'll see you on the other side.
Lift your worship. Thank you. in your face.
Love is who you are.
want to be where you are. Somebody make that your prayer in this moment. Gotta be
for your glory. Yes, for your glory, Lord. Yes, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a good day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, and welcome, Blog Talk listeners all around this beautiful world, to Runner for Christ Ministries Sunday Morning Worship Service. I am Kathy Clyburn, your presiding person for this Sunday morning worship experience, brought to you by Runner for Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly, and we ask that you tell someone else that this Sunday worship service is happening. As always, we will start out with scripture and prayer, and at Runner for Christ Ministries, we believe it's vital, and the Word of God tells us so. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy path. And we have this morning to help us do so is our very own brother, Deacon Oliver Welch. Thank you for being with us this morning.
Oh, my pleasure, Miss Kathy, my pleasure. And good morning, Running for Christ family and to Blog Talk Radio family. Yes, I'm getting ready to read scripture and prayer, and it's from the book of Colossians, chapter 3, 1 through 15, and it is titled, Living the New Life. And it reads as follows. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of the earth, for you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you, having nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of the Lord is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world, but now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on a new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and He lives in all of us. Since God chose you to be a holy people who loves, you must clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. All above, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today for this opportunity to once again offer up to you some much-deserved praise and thanksgiving. Lord, we thank you for life, love, family, friendship, and fellowship. We ask that you fill with your Holy Spirit everyone who takes part in this worship service. We ask that you hear and answer the prayers of faith that are lifted to you by your people in this service. Lord, we ask that you heal the sick and comfort the many bereaved. And we ask that you bless the preacher with a word from you for all of us to hear and obey. And we ask that Jesus Christ be lifted in songs, prayers, and in preached words so that all those who are lost will be found. And dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And in his mighty name and wonderful name that we ask these blessings. Let the church and everyone say amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Brother Oliver.
My pleasure.
Have a beautiful day.
Okay, thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. All right, now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord, we will continue to minister with our song selection service with our very own shepherd, Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
What I long for, holiness is what I need. Holiness, holiness is what you want for me, for me.
Amen. I long for it. I want my mind transformed for it. And I want my will conformed to God's will. Amen. That's what we ought to want from the Lord. He has provided everything else. Long before he made Adam, he made everything. Amen. So Adam didn't have to come here to do nothing but be transformed, be conformed to God's will and not this world. Amen. And we all ought to want what the Lord brings us. Amen. And that's change. Change from open rebellion toward God to longing for God to change us.
Change me, oh God. Make me more like you. Wash me through, create me a clean heart, so that I may worship you. has come over me.
You know, we just heard Pastor Janice Tate talk about those super apostles who were comparing themselves to themselves. And a lot of us like to do that because we always come out a winner. But if you really want to see what God is trying to turn you into, amen, look at Jesus and then look at yourself. Amen. Look at Jesus and then look at yourself. And you will see, you will desire change because you will see how much not like him that you really are, if you're honest with yourself. But if you, amen, love yourself just a little bit too much, you probably won't be honest with yourself. You'd be like them super apostles, amen, comparing yourself to yourself, so you always come out right. But if you really want to know what change is and what God's trying to change us into, Ephesians chapter 4 tells us we're all going to be like Christ one day. That's the goal, right? Amen. But for that to happen, what you need to do is give yourself away.
Give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can.
Come on, let him know.
I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away.
What would happen if a generation embraced this? Come on, tell him,
here I am, here I am.
I give myself away so you can use me, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor, for those blessings and songs of faith and testimony. Our hearts have truly been moved and encouraged, which takes us to time to talk to God, the only one who can meet all our needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. Doing double duty and following this selection, the next voice you will hear is our very own sister and woman of God, Assistant Pastor Janice Tate, offering prayer and petitioning God on our behalf. Meet us at the altar and prepare to receive Assistant Pastor Janice Tate. Pray to the Lord. Amen.
Obey my will, then be still and know.
Bless your holy name, Father. Blessed be the name of the Lord. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God, and you are God, and there is none like you. There is none who is able to create and sustain and give life and even usher us over into new life in Christ Jesus. We thank you this morning, Father, just for the breath of life that is in us. We thank you for your Holy Spirit who empowers us and strengthens us on a daily basis and teaches and convicts us, Lord. And we thank you because it's all possible only because of the sacrifice of Jesus, who gave his life, who laid down his life for us, who made himself a sacrifice that was acceptable and holy and perfect. And he took away all of the barriers that can prevent us from coming to you. So we're coming boldly through your throne this morning. We're coming to and we're asking for grace to help in time of need, Lord. But we're not going to be sinful by not saying thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for keeping us through these days and these weeks and these months and this last over a year now, Father, when we have been separated from one another by a pandemic that is still very much alive and well in this world, Lord. Lord, we're thanking you because you have kept us through it. You have taken some of us from sickness to health. You have taken some of us from death to life. You have taken others from life into eternity, Lord. You've taken us through our grief, our sorrow, our pain, our disappointment, our shattered hopes and dreams, Father. You've carried us. You've been with us, Lord. You've done your part, Lord. So we're coming before your throne. And, Father, this morning, there's not much I'm going to ask for us, because you've given us everything pertaining to life and godliness. I ask, Lord, that you will just continue to work on our hearts so we can access everything, so we can get our minds clear to understand that there is no enemy that's against us that is greater than you, because there is nobody greater than you, Lord. When Jesus said, I declare all power on heaven and earth has been given to me, he declared to all of our enemies that they had been defeated and they are the bound, and that in anyone who is in Christ, if they are in you, Jesus Christ, that they have power over these enemies by your defeat of them, Father. So we declare victory in the name of Jesus this day. We thank you for the victory. It's not just that our sins are forgiven, but our enemies are defeated, that death has no power over us, that we are subject to the King and his kingdom. We praise you for having a King who loves us, who shed his blood for us, who gave his all for us, and even right now is still sustaining and protecting us for your purpose, your will, your glory, Lord. So, Lord, we need to be obedient. So I'm just looking for obedient hearts in your children, that we obey your word, that we do your word, that we love one another. I'm not just talking about our brothers and sisters. I'm talking about this world, those who you have created in your image, that we have true love, that we care about those who you care about, Father. Everybody created, everybody born, everybody in you, or everybody who you have given life to, Father, you love and you care about. And we need to be caring about each other, Father. Whether it's we get a shot, whether it's we wear a mask, whether we give generously from what you provided for us, Father, we can care, Father. And you called us your people to care more than anybody. Jesus has given us the standard. He said on that day, he will ask, when I was sick, did you visit me? When I was in prison, did you come see about me? When I was hungry, did you feed me? When I was naked, did you clothe me? Did you care about me? Did you love me? And when we stand and ask the question, Lord, when did we see you? And he says, every time we do it to the least of these, we have done it unto him. So, Lord, help us to care about the least of these. Help us to care about these people who are in places where they are in bondage to these deceptive spirits that have us so crazy. We don't know up from down, Lord, that we cling to the Holy Spirit, that we run to your word and understand he will instruct and teach us. He will tell us what is right by you. We have put our trust in man too long, and we know, because we are failures as men, that man fails. But we are coming to the God who has never failed, who has authored this all. And we thank you because in it you are trying to move through those who are called by your name to help undo the things that this sin-fallen world has done. So, Lord, we pray for those in the nations who don't have vaccine, who don't even have access because they don't even have simple things like electricity, who are starving and hurting and who don't know their answers, who can only call out to you, Lord. Let us who hear your voice answer the call when you reach out to us. And let us be careful to remember it is only because you are gracious and compassionate and loving and faithful that we have anything that we have. It's only because of Jesus that we are who we are. So today, Lord, we're opening our ears. We're taking off our blinders. We're opening our hearts to hear your word pour down on us so that we can be your people, so that people will know that you are real and that you are true and that you are God by the way we live, connected to the source of life who is Jesus. We exalt his name today. We glorify his name today. We thank you for him. And in his name, we ask all these things by your power, by your presence, by his blood, by your strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Powerful prayer, love, care. We have the victory in Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Janice, for praying and making our request known to God. We truly appreciate you. Have a beautiful day. Thank you. Amen. All right. I am truly, truly having a great time this morning, and I hope you are too. I'd like to say thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person. And as always, if you have been blessed by this Saturday or Sunday, by this Sunday worship experience, then be a blessing to others and let them know that this Sunday worship service is happening. Share the love, joy, and the blessing. Amen? Okay, time for the preach word. Icing on the cake, best part, message from God. After this selection, the next voice you will hear to read scripture and to introduce the preacher of the hour is our very own Sister Deaconess June Rogers. Let's prepare to receive Deaconess June Rogers as she come in her own way. Amen?
Cannot do this sin no more, no other way. Said I was done, but again I'm down in my mess. It's the flesh I have chosen. Lord, I need you to change me and rearrange me. I can't do it by myself, no. I need you to change me, yeah, and rearrange me, 'cause I can't do it by myself. Myself, no.
Amen, amen. That was a blessing. If you have been tuned in since 9:30 this morning, clearly you know the theme for this service is change. And why wouldn't we want to change? Who wants to stay the same? Just think about things that stay the same. It gets stagnant. Think of waters. Starts to stink, starts to get yucky. So we know we need to change, and we've got our Father in heaven and our big brother Jesus and the Holy Spirit that's resident inside of us to help us do just that. Good morning, everyone. So Pastor O will be continuing in the series, The New Life. Last week was part one, and he really woke us up about setting our sights on heaven. One thing I will always remember was his pondering why when we pray that we bow our heads. He pointed out that when Jesus prayed, he looked to heaven. Wow, that gave me a whole new perspective. If you catch me bowing my head in the future, just step on my toe. That'll make me look up. But seriously, though, if you missed last week, you can go to the Runner for Christ Ministry. It's rfcm.org website. Click on Bible classes, then free sermons. That takes you to the Blog Talk link, and then just scroll down to the title of Living the New Life Part 1. So now we are on to Part 2 of this three-part series on Living the New Life. Pastors asked me to read Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 through 11, and I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. It is written, put to death whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourself of all such things as these, anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. This is the word of the Lord. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, doers, and hearers of his great word. You know, blessings are really beautiful and awesome. I recall a couple of years ago at church that Pastor O spent a portion of his sermon time explaining to us what blessings are. He shared scriptures with us about blessings. His main point was to get us to see that while people often refer to blessings as tangible things, such as houses and cars, that God's blessings are intangible. More importantly, he got us to see that we are already blessed. I know you may be familiar with Matthew chapter 5, but when you get a moment, take another look, because God's word is always fresh. When I looked this morning, I saw two blessings that will help us be doers concerning today's teaching. They are the blessings of meekness and a pure heart. Won't you agree with me this morning that if we are going to take advantage of this opportunity to clean out our spiritual closets, that we must go in with right attitude, the right frame of mind, and the right condition of our hearts? Yes, I thought you would. So now let us draw near and see the blessings in store for us according to Colossians chapter 5. Pastor O, we thank you for submitting yourself to God as he poured the blessings of this lesson into you. And we thank you for the time you have put into cutting this hearty plate of spiritual food into chunks that we can digest. What a blessing. So, Pastor O, are you ready to break it down for us?
Yes, indeed.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. Until Ray got in, but tell him I said hey and bring them all home.
Amen.
Amen. God bless. I want to thank Deaconess June Rogers and everybody else, Assistant Pastor Janice Tate for the Sunday school lesson, for altar call, and for Deacon Oliver Wells doing that awesome scripture reading and opening prayer, getting us going down the road. And of course, can't forget Deaconess Kathy Clyburn, the one who presides in person, who puts it all together, gets all these people amen, and makes everything work. And that frees me up to preach. And, you know, I thank God all the time for the people that he did. Jesus said he was going to bring people, and he did. And they free me up to just focus on what he told me to focus on. And that's teaching, learning, and doing. Every time I think Running for Christ is not doing enough, should be doing something else, I run straight to Jesus and say, Jesus, we should be doing this. We should be doing that. And he says, what did I tell you? I said, teaching, learning, and doing. He said, are you doing that? I'm like, well, we're teaching, and they are learning, and they're starting to do. And he's like, well, then just keep doing that till I get back, and we'll be all right. I tell him, but Jesus, other churches is doing a whole lot of stuff. He's like, well, that's what I'm telling other churches to do. But what I'm telling you to do is teach, learn, and do. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today, and we praise your holy name. We thank you for giving us yet another opportunity to come into your presence and sing songs and pray prayers. And we know that you hear and that you're listening. And we hope and pray that you receive this glory that we're trying to. We know that you are, your glory is intrinsic. It's in you. But we want to glorify you, Heavenly Father, for every single thing that you always do for us. And we just cannot thank you enough for that. So we thank you for giving us another opportunity to be here. Make being here worth it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Repeat after me. Say, Lord, bless my ears so they hear your word today. And bless my heart so it receives your word today. Because I acknowledge to you that my ways and thoughts are not like yours, but I'm here today to be transformed so I'm no longer conformed to this world. I want to know what your pleasing, perfect, and good will is for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Isn't that wonderful? God has a pleasing, a pleasing and a perfect good will for us. Amen. And all we have to do is what verse 1 in Romans chapter 12 says, is submit. Amen. If we submit to him, then we get that good, that pleasing, and that perfect will. But if we don't submit, we're still his, but we don't get. That's the way it works, right? Amen. My father tell me to go outside and cut the grass. He's going to give me $50. And I say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But I don't cut the grass. $50 is there. The will to give it is there. But I didn't cut the grass. So I don't get the 50. Hey, man, I think that's plain. Hey, we're going to pick up from where we left off last week. We were talking about Paul when he was writing to the Colossian church. It's about AD 60. This is one of his prison epistles, amen. And we know he established it on his second missionary journey. So they're about 5 or 6 years old now. And he's writing to them about living the new life. He wrote about some other things, but we're concentrating on this, living the new life. You know, I said it last week, and I'm going to say it again. It does us no good to come to Jesus weary, wounded, and sad, and not let him make us glad. But we just stay weary, wounded, and sad. And what is so sad is that there are so many Christians who accept Jesus as Savior, but they're not letting him come anywhere near being Lord. Amen? And that's sad. That's a tragedy. God is trying to take us from a low place to a high place, but we won't go. Jesus went to Capernaum one time, and y'all know Jesus, he was full of power, and in one place where they had faith, they said that he healed everybody that was brought to him, or he healed them all, but he went to his hometown where they knew him, where they grew up with him, amen, and they were offended in his flesh, his humanity. And the Bible says that he did not do many miracles there. Now, when I first read that, I thought God had become a respecter of persons because he didn't like these people, so he ain't going to bless them. But then the Bible answered the question itself when you ask, well, why didn't he do many miracles there? Because of their unbelief. Because of that. See, God gives us a word to not only believe but to live out. And then we get what's called new. the Bible says, when we started last week in verse 1, since you've been raised to a new life with Christ, and you have, you've been raised to a new life, amen, set your sights and your realities on heaven where Christ sits in the place and honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. Why? Because you died to this life. Amen. Picture yourself dead, or picture somebody you've seen dead. No matter what you do, they're not going to respond. Why? Because as far as this life is concerned, they're dead to it. And that is what the Lord wants us to do. And that's the rub, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Are we willing to let die the things that we've become comfortable with? You know, Jesus said that nobody takes new wine and puts it in the old wineskins, and we all know why not, because wine goes through a fermentation process. It starts making little bubbles, and those bubbles, they break, and they produce the oxygen inside of them is released, and whatever they're in, like a wineskin, it would cause it to expand. So nobody took brand new wine and put it into an old wineskin. Why? Because it had been stretched as far as it could go. And after it gets to that place, they might not throw it away, but they can keep it to drink water out of. It becomes a canteen. But it can't be used to ferment wine anymore. So they get a new wineskin. Then they start pouring stuff in. Jesus said nobody takes a brand new suit, tears a patch out of it to fix their old jeans. Why? Because the old jeans have been washed, hopefully, a bunch of times, and they've shrunk as much as they're going to shrink. But this new patch that you're putting on your old jeans, it's not going to work. Why? The new patch still going to shrink, and it's going to draw up the jeans and then rip away from the threads, and you got a hole again. And you got a raggedy new suit with a patch taken out of it. So Jesus says, nobody does that. Amen. So what we have to do, see, in the Old Testament, you know, folks was under the law. You do this or you get this. Amen. But in the New Testament, God wants us to love him enough to do this or to do that. Y'all know I told the testimony. I kind of hate telling it because it makes me cry almost every time I tell it. But Jesus is going to bless me or I ain't going to be able to get through preaching because I'm going to start crying. Anyway, I was drag racing, and y'all know that. And me and Jesus would talk on the way there and talk on the way back. And one day I got real happy because we talking and things is wonderful. And I asked the Lord, why do I act like this? Why am I out here right now when I should be helping my pastor? Why am I skipping church like this? And Jesus ain't never lied. You might want him to, but he ain't never going to. He ain't never lied. You know what he told me? He said, because you don't love me enough. So it wasn't a thing that I wasn't saved. The thing was I didn't love him enough to give up drag racing on Sunday. I didn't love him enough to stop taking tithes and spending them on race parts so I could do what I wanted to do. I was not willing to deny myself, take up the work he gave me to do, you know, being a Sunday school teacher. Hard to do that at the drag strip on Sunday. Amen. So it came down to a matter of love. And only I could grow my love for him. I mean, Jesus is all the Jesus he's ever going to be. He didn't have to do anything more or anything special. He was already everything. I just wasn't recognizing it. Amen? So what we're about to get into is the second part of this sermon series called Living the New Life. And it's going to sound like God is asking us to do something impossible. You know, there's a lot of the places I could have preached this from. One comes to mind is Galatians chapter 5. Amen. Where Paul talks about fruit. Amen. Where he talks about adding fruit. And where he talks about getting rid of some things. And since Paul wrote that letter in AD 49, when he wrote to the Galatians about living the new life, he was saying, look, you need to, let's go over there and look at it. Look at Galatians chapter 5. It's pretty much the exact same thing that we're looking at, but he presents it in a different way. He tells us the same thing. Listen to what he says over here. Amen. He says, so I say, I'm in Galatians chapter 5, I'm at verse 16. I'm going to read fast because it's the same thing we're looking at over here. But this is Paul writing in AD 49 to the Galatian church. This is just before the apostolic council meeting or just after, because it's one of the first books of the Bible that's written in the New Testament, as far as the New Testament is concerned, other than Jesus' brother James, who wrote the book of James, or Jude. James and Jude, both of them wrote. But James wrote around AD 49, the same time that Paul wrote, okay, to these Galatians. And it was important that James write, if you understand James, he was called James the Just because of his strict adherence to Judaism. So it was important that he write to these Galatian folks or to Christendom, period. But Paul wrote these words to those who were new Christians who had gotten saved and but were living among the Gentiles, mixed up with the Jews, and now they need to know how to live the Christian life. But he doesn't present it as the new life. He presents it as living by the power of the Holy Spirit, no longer walking around in your own power, no longer walking around in your own self-determination, but walking around following the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8 tells us there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ, for we follow after the Holy Spirit and not after the flesh. And that's what this argument is all about, and that's what the new life is all about. It's about truly out with the old ways of doing things and in with the new ways of doing things. So Paul is saying your sinful nature, which we still have, amen, it's called the flesh, and you still have it. Now, your new nature, amen, is striving to become the number one nature, and that is the nature that follows the Holy Spirit. Listen to what he says. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your life. Now, let me explain that. The Holy Spirit, if he's going to guide your life, in other words, you know John chapter, I'm going to repeat it, but I know you know it. John chapter 16 verses 12 through 15 says, when he, the Holy Spirit, comes, he will guide you into all truth, right? And he'll show you what is yet to come. Now, Jesus says he won't speak on his own, so he ain't making stuff up, but he's repeating what he heard from Jesus. Jesus says, I'll speak it to him and he'll speak it to you. Why? Because God has spoken it, the Father has spoken it to Jesus. And that's the way they work with us. God says it to Jesus. Jesus says it to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit says it to us. That's how the Trinity operates in the New Testament church. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. See, we still got that same old nature in us. And you're going to see what's up when we get over there. Amen. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. See, the old person, amen, wants to do evil. Well, the old person never knew anything but evil. The old person wasn't born saved. The old person, some of us act like we was, but we wasn't. Amen. The old person wasn't born saved. The old person was born in this world where they do whatever they want to do, amen, where people feed their flesh whatever their flesh wants. But now we've been saved. We've accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, and the Lord says we have to stop living by our old sinful nature and doing what it craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants, the Holy Spirit wants. He does not want to be grieved because we're doing evil. That's why Ephesians tells us, grieve not the Holy Spirit, who you have received from God, but allow him to take the leadership. He's not trying to lead you into a worse life, but he's trying to lead you into an eternal life, the life you're going to live forever. But we are comfortable with, like them old pants, them old shirt, them old clothes that you just love to throw on because they're comfortable, okay? But he's telling us to come out of our comfort zones of sin and come into the new life. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. And Paul said it over there in Romans chapter 7, when I would do good, he found out evil was always present. I went to the store to do good, to get some milk, because we was out of milk. But then this guy pulled up next to me in his little weak Ford Mustang, and I got my little Mo-powered, 440-powered Dodge Dakota killer. Hey, man, he's trying to get, and now we drag racing down the street, and the police pulled us both over and gave us 18 tickets. I went to get milk. That was good. But then evil showed up, and now I'm paying 18 tickets. But anyway, no, that didn't really happen. I just made that up. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you're not free to carry out your good intentions. I had good intentions, but it didn't work out. But when you are directed by the Spirit, watch this now, watch this. You're not under the obligation of the law of Moses. A whole lot of people today want to go under the law. I was on the radio last week, and there was a lady who called in, and she was saying, we need to teach our children the law. We need to put them back under the law. Are you kidding me? The law didn't do nothing but kill us because we can't keep it. And according to this, we don't even want to keep it. We want to do evil, but the law tells us this is God's way, but we don't want to do it God's way. And how much did the law help Israel? The whole first generation that came out of Egypt died. It didn't help them at all. The law killed every single one of them because they kept breaking it. They couldn't keep it. So God didn't give us the law to save us in the first place. God gave us the law to take all the excuses out of our mouths about sin and find ourselves guilty before God. But then he sent Jesus to do what the law wasn't even trying to do. The law ain't never tried to save nobody. A stop sign ain't never tried to stop nobody from getting a ticket after they ran it. The law will not speak to Jesus on your behalf and say, have mercy on him. No, the law has an end. The law has a fixed punishment, so it won't try to save you. But Jesus will. But when you're directed by the Spirit, you're not under the obligation of the law of Moses. Why? Because you're walking in righteousness. The Spirit is not going to lead you in a wrong way. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the real results are very clear. And here we're going to get into the same things that we're going to be reading over here in Colossians. Paul wrote that book. He wrote this book. He's presenting it in this book as change your nature. You need a new nature. Don't follow your sinful nature. Don't follow the flesh. He says, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Tell me if you recognize any of this. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Now, Paul says something here that scares a whole lot of Christians because, see, we pretty much, a lot of us, you know, some of that stuff, and that's all we're going to say about that. Paul says something here that scares us, though. He says, let me tell you, as I have before, that anyone living this sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, a whole bunch of Christians, because he wrote this to the church, thought they wasn't saved no more because they were still doing some, if not all, that stuff and wanting to. Enjoying it, bragging about it. You remember them days when you used to do this and then you go tell other people about it? Amen? But he's not saying we're not saved. What he is saying is, and this is what you want to get this, my brothers and sisters, you don't get the benefits of the kingdom of God. Okay, anyone practicing or living that sort of life will not get the benefits that come with being a child of the king or from the kingdom of God. In other words, Jesus says, don't worry about anything. Watch how this works. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. And remember what God has done. Then you'll get perfect peace. So you don't just get go up to God and say, give me perfect peace. He'll say, well, you keep your mind stayed on me, that is my word, you'll get perfect peace. If you keep your mind stayed on my word, if you live like, see, Paul and Silas found perfect peace in a very unpeaceful situation, a Philippian jail cell, a dungeon, feet in the stocks, hands fastened to the wall, rats running around. But they sang praises to God at midnight. See, that is that peace that surpasses understanding. There's only one way to get that. You have to ignore all the circumstances. You have to ignore your situation. And you have to keep your eyes stayed on Jesus. Because he said, if you keep your mind stayed on me, I swear by myself, I will keep you in perfect peace. But guess what God want to produce in us? Something different, and we'll get to that on next week. So we travel back over here to Colossians chapter 3, and we look at these verses. See, there's some tough stuff right here. And we don't like hearing about this, because you know how when the preacher say, I'm going to come down your street, we're going to go down everybody's street. And all of us going to have something going on in here that we're involved in. Amen. But guess what? God is not going to kill that stuff in you. Verse 5 says, he says, so put to death the sinful nature. Paul says over in Romans chapter 6, when he talks about we're no longer slaves to sin, but we are slaves to Christ and righteousness, he says, so don't let your body, amen, serve sin. Don't let any member of your body serve sin. So that's what I was talking about. It's a matter of love for God as to how successful you're going to be with switching these things around. He says, so put to death the sinful, earthly things lurking within you. See, these things don't happen in heaven. He says, have nothing to do with sexual immorality. Are you kidding me? We shack up like God don't even exist. I was watching the history of the black church, and they asked the question, when are black churches going to become comfortable with, when are black churches going to exchange their positions on gay folks, the gay life, practice of the gay lifestyle? It's okay. I saw a lady had a whole church filled up with people that she was leading in rebellion against God. She feels like because she's gay, okay, that she doesn't have to repent of that because that's the way she feels on the inside, no matter what God's word says. They discount Leviticus 18 and 22. They discount Leviticus 20 and 13. They discount Romans chapter 1. They discount 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and they discount 1 Timothy 1 and 7. Every one of those speak to the practice of the gay lifestyle. But today, amen, they say, God loves me just like I am. But when you look in the word of God, it does not say that. Back again to what Pastor Janice Tate told us, God's word is the standard. I remember back in 1977 when I started reading the Bible, and I found out that you couldn't have premarital sex. They use this funny word called fornication. I didn't even understand what that meant, so I just passed it over. But I later came to understand it meant premarital sex. I knew I was in trouble because I was having premarital sex. So much so that my name, I got tagged with this name, Sweet G's. A girl gave it to me, and she's passed away now, but she had later become an evangelist, and I had become a preacher. But she said that, Sweet G's, he loved all the ladies. And that's how I got that name. So if you hear anybody call me Sweet G's, they know me from way back, okay? And that's how they got to know me. Amen. But when I met Jesus in 1975, I didn't even really get into the sexual discussion until 1977, but when I did, I knew I had a problem, and I knew I needed to go to Jesus, and I said, Jesus, I need you to fix me. I need you to change me, And then I'm reading stuff like, so put to death. I'm like, wait a minute, you asking me to do that? And the Lord says, if you love me, amen, you'll keep my commandments. Don't he say that in John? If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And when you say, Jesus, your commandments too hard to keep, he say, no, they ain't. Having that much love for him might be hard. Okay, because you have to deny yourself. And boy, we got so much sexual immorality going on. 72% of all black families are run by single-parent households, whether they be the man or the woman. But 72%, that is not God's way. That's our way. That's us giving into the earthly sinful things that lurk within us. And some of us, we get into a practice. Now, let me tell you something. Does God love gay folks? Does God love people who have more sex than married people? Yes, he loves them. But what do we read over there? If you're practicing that kind of stuff, if you're living opposite of God, then you don't get the benefits of the kingdom. That's what Satan wants. Satan wants you to be weak. Satan wants you to be powerless. Satan don't want you to get to the place where you can tear down his kingdom. Satan don't want you to get to the place where you can tear down strongholds. Like Pastor Tate said, we don't use the weapons, carnal weapons that the world use, but we use the scriptures to tear down all kinds of crazy stronghold thoughts that people have in their mind and places where the devil has set up a stronghold. The devil set up a stronghold in Colossae, and Paul went over there with the word of God and broke it down. But what if Paul was gay and practicing the lifestyle and telling God, ain't nothing wrong with this? You think he'd have been that powerful? You think he'd experienced any of the miracles that he experienced? Any of the breakthroughs, any of the changes? So we have to do something about our sexual immorality, about our nastiness, impurity, about lust and our evil desires. These are the things that lurk within us, and we cannot give up the fight against these things to live a life of light for Christ in the world. We have to let our light so shine, and your light is not real shiny if you're involved in sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and all kinds of evil desires. I did not say God don't love you, and I didn't say you're not saved if you're taking place in all those things. No, I didn't. What I am telling you is you cannot bust your parents' car windows out and think they're going to take you to the park. If you do, I want your parents. Or do I? Amen. Probably not. That's all we're saying. The Lord wants us aligned so he can bless us. Amen. When Adam and Eve got out of alignment, that brought instant problems on them. And we might not feel it because God's so good. We might not feel it because of God's grace. But we don't have God's best. And that's a problem. He says, don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. We'll give up Jesus to get something. We'll lie, cheat, and steal to get something. And somehow think God's going to bless that. You cannot love the things God made more than God. And God knows if you love his stuff more than you love him. For instance, you love something so much, you don't go to Bible class. Now, you can say, I don't love nothing that much. No, well, you do, because you're not in Bible class. Jesus don't see you in Bible class. What's keeping you out of it? I got to get to the end. But these sins, because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. That's why the end of the world is coming. That's why the rapture of the church is coming. That's why the tribulation period is coming. That's why the thousand-year reign of Christ is coming. And that's why the devil, the false prophet, and the Antichrist, and everybody else who never accept Christ is going to hell because of these things. But we love these things. We want to do evil. And God wants to change us. But you know, we got to jump on the potter's wheel so he can make that happen. you used to do these things when your life was still a part of this world. But now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Y'all know we cuss like sailors. Some people I talk to, sometimes they cuss, and I'm like, Jesus, do they even know you standing here? Just somehow Jesus then gave them an okay to cuss and use filthy, dirty language, to go to stores and go nuts on cashiers and, amen, and get into all kinds of fits of rage and just bad behavior. This lady was telling how somebody broke into her shop and did a number two in the toilet and then took it out the toilet and wiped it all over the place. You talking about malicious behavior and then always slamming somebody's name, slandering somebody, talking about them like a dog. Don't lie to each other, for you stripped off the old sinful nature and its wicked deeds. It's amazing how many people I see dragging dead things around, things they've died to, things they're no longer alive to. They're still dragging it around. Amen. Now he tells us, put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised. A Scythian is a barbaric. Okay? These were people, as far as Rome was concerned, or the Rome people who lived in Rome, they felt like anybody who was outside of Roman education, Roman culture, was barbaric and uncivilized. So it works for you whether you're a slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and he lives in us all. So there's a lot of stuff, and you know, you can pick this, you can pick that, and none of us are the same, but all of us have something different. But the Lord has come to give us a new life. He doesn't want us to continue the old life. The old life, with its ways of doing things, was on its way straight to hell. So we don't want nothing to do with the old life. What we want to do is be conformed or transformed by renewing our minds, and the only way we can do that is to read God's word to see where we are in life. How am I living? Let the word of God examine my personal life. How is that working out for me? Let the word of God examine my family life. Is it according to God's word? Because, see, he came to give us a new life. Ain't no sense in taking like the old wine, putting it in a new wineskin. I mean, old wineskin, putting new wine in it. The Lord is not doing that. Until we're willing to become new, we're just going to stay old. We're going to cuss just like we used to. We're going to have attitudes just like we used to. We're going to steal anytime we want to, go to work and steal pencils and papers and everything else, as if Jesus don't even exist, as if we are not there to represent him, to glorify him in the way that we live, if we're not there to let our light shine so people see our righteous living and give glory to him because he's the one living through us. Now, this is not going to be an immediate work, but it is something that we have to do. And in our world today, I mean, there's just a lot of evil going on. And all the church is doing is talking about blessings and breakthroughs. Nobody likes to talk about this kind of thing because nobody wants to hear about this. But this is what Jesus came to bring: change, a new life, as contrasted to your old life, the life without God. And it's the same that some Christians still live without God. My pastor, Reverend Alfred L. Davis Jr., used to say, you only know the Lord as well as you know his word. And some of us just don't know his word. When I see Christians talking about we can practice this and we can practice that, God still loves me, that's a lie. Oh, Not the part about God loving you. It ain't never been about God loving us. It's always been about us loving him. It's never been about God loving us. God will never stop loving us. I don't care how bad this world gets. You crack open any Bible and go to Genesis, John 3:16, and it's still going to say God so loved the world. I don't care what version you read. It's still going to say God so loved the world that he gave. So it ain't never been about God loving us. But it's always been about how much do we love God. Do we love God to put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within us? Or do we love us and our flesh so much that we will not even get into the new life that God came to give us through Jesus? We have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, and his job is to show us God's way. It's not an easy way. Jesus says it's a narrow path. Jesus says it's like walking on a tightrope. You have to pay attention to every step before you slip off. But if we do like Peter and slip off and start falling under the water, all we have to do is say, Lord, save me. And Jesus will show up, show us how we slipped up so we don't slip up again, and carry us to safety till we start walking again. So, brothers and sisters, don't take this as God saying you're not saved. Take this as God is saying, this is what you were like before I found you, before you accepted Christ as your Savior. But then there's a new life that I want to give you. There's a new life that I want you to live. And you don't have to start living it when you get to heaven. You can start living it right now, down here on this earth. And then what the Lord Jesus said to us, let your light so shine so that men see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. But these kinds of things that we've been talking about is when you take a bushel and put it over the light. But Jesus wants us, amen, when people see us and they say, hey, I remember you, sweet G's. Why aren't you sweet G's anymore? Because I put to death the sinful nature that was lurking in me. Now, what we really do is we get control over some things. Because don't ever think as long as you're on this earth, you're going to be perfect. And that you ain't going to never sin the same sin again. Amen? Jesus said, watch as well as pray, because the devil will tip on you and want to do a new thing. Amen. I am all the way out of time. Amen. Crystal, I need you to press 1 so I can find you. Amen. You way down the row. Amen. There you go. Amen. Okay, now we're going to turn this over. I ain't through preaching. I'm going to get through next week, Lord willing, to say the same thing. We're going to come with part 3. Amen. Part 3 is a little bit better than part 2. It won't touch us up as much. It will tell us about the new things that the Lord want to put in us versus the old stuff that is in us. Amen. And that's how you can tell when you're new. Because you'll know what's old, and you'll see what's new. Amen. God bless you. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we thank you today, and we praise your holy name. Father, we know that you'll be working on us. Like you said, Jesus, in Philippians 1:6, you began this work in us, and you're going to carry it out to completion. We're going to get to new. I pray, Lord Jesus, that we get to some new before we get home to be with you. In your name I pray. Amen. Okay, Chris, amen. It's all yours.
All right. Amen. Amen. Well, you know, I learned a couple things today. First, I learned how to ferment wine, number one. Two, I learned how to patch up some old jeans. Okay, okay. But number three, I really learned that we have been created in the image and the likeness of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We didn't evolve, like we didn't start off as amoebas and then, you know, evolve to like, I don't know, monkeys or, you know, apes or whatever, and then, you know, evolve again to Neanderthals, and then we became human beings standing straight up. No, we are created in the image and the likeness of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We are the only creation that is created like the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, but yet we don't act like humans. We act like animals. We don't act like we're supposed to act. We're the only creation that doesn't do what we're supposed to do. We have a job to be like the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus did not come and die on the cross just because he didn't have anything else to do. He came to be our Savior. He came to be our Lord, and he came so that we can accept him as our Lord and Savior, so that we can live this life like we're supposed to and spend eternity with him. Is it going to take time? Yes. Are we ever going to be perfect? No. But that's the beauty of this life, is that you don't ever have to be perfect, and that Jesus will continue to work on us until we go home to be with him. Amen. So just, we all like new stuff, new cars, new clothes, new shoes. You know, we even like when we go to the bank or go to the ATM machine and cash a check or do something and they give us new bills. We be like, oh, look at these crispy new bills. We all like new stuff. But how about we enjoy being a new creation in Christ? Amen? Amen. So after announcements, Pastor's going to come back on and give us some closing words. So good morning, everybody. Happy Sunday to all of the Blog Talk Radio listeners, old and new, who tuned in this morning to our Sunday morning worship service. We hope you had a wonderful and awesome time in the Lord. We always want to acknowledge our pastors at Run for Christ Ministries, Pastor O, Pastor Janice, Pastor Jonathan, Pastor Terrence, Pastor Janine, and Pastor John. We are so grateful for these shepherds and these leaders that we have at Run for Christ Ministries, you know, just guiding us into teaching, learning, and doing the Word of God. Amen. So Romans chapter 10, verses 14 through 15 says, "But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news." And so we thank you, Pastor O, for being that messenger of good news today, preaching the word of God to not just us at Run for Christ Ministries, but because of the Blog Talk Radio platform that has been put in place, people all over the world who need to hear the word of God are able to do so. Amen. Amen. So just a couple of reminders. Bible reading class is held here on Blog Talk Radio on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Deacon Eric Reed is teaching 2 Chronicles, chapters 31 through 36. The questions have been emailed, and they're also available online on our church website, rfcm.org. Just go under Bible classes, and you will find the questions there for you to participate. Also, every Tuesday at 4 o'clock, Reverend Richard Overall is here on Blog Talk Radio, teaching in his series Training Day. Set yourself a reminder to tune in every Tuesday at 4 p.m. I say it every week. I'm going to say it again this week. If you're not listening, you are missing out. He is so full, and he is constantly overflowing, and the word of God is awesome. I don't want to say he's preaching it, but he most definitely is teaching it. So if you're not listening, make sure to tune in every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Amen. From now until November, on the fourth Wednesday of every month, so this fourth Wednesday for us is July the 28th, beginning around 10 a.m. for setup, going to about 1 o'clock, 1:30 in the afternoon, First Fruit Living Ministries, Minister Shelley, Pastor O, as well as anyone else who wants to join in, is out in front of Running for Christ Ministries, the building, at the bus stop there, praying with people, rededicating and restoring people back to and back in Christ, giving out Bibles and giving out lunches, having conversations with people who are coming by, stopping by. So if you're able to make it out, please do. All are welcome. And again, this month, the fourth Wednesday is July 28th, and setup begins at 10 a.m. Amen? Amen. Also, just to remind everyone that our very own Deaconess Kathy Clyburn has launched her own Blog Talk Radio show entitled Back to the Family. And Back to the Family discusses the deteriorating condition, the biblical solutions to bring the family back to God's intended purpose for family in the beginning. Amen. So Kathy will be back on today at 4 p.m. with a continuation of Back to the Family. You can find the link to her show on our church website, rfcm.org, under Christian Resources. Amen. Cat has a different phone number than we use here for like classes and services and things like that. So make sure if you call this number that you tune in on your phone, you're not going to find the show. So please go under Christian Resources on our church website because she does have a different phone number for you to be able to listen. So tune in today at 4 o'clock. We are Run for Christ Ministries. We don't really get into afternoon programs and things like that. So you probably won't remember to tune in. So set yourself a reminder to be online at 4 p.m. to listen to Back to the Family. Amen. Amen. Also, a reminder that all of our classes and our services here on Blog Talk Radio are recorded, archived, and free. RFCM.org, again, is the place to go. Click on the Blog Talk, excuse me, radio tab, excuse me, and you'll have access again to all of our classes and services for free, 24/7, 365. Download them and make sure to share them with others. Amen? Amen. If you would like to bless us here at Run for Christ Ministries with a free will love offering, if you're a member, you want to pay tithes or give anything additional towards any of our outreach ministries that we support, again, rfcm.org is the place to go, and you will find all the information that you need listed there. In addition to this, if you would like to give a love offering for Pastor O, who brought us the word today, please visit Pastor's website. It's pastorgmo.com, pastorgodsmyowner.com. Amen? Amen. So we all know that a conversation is when one person is speaking and the other person is listening, and vice versa, okay? We all know that this is how our prayers should go. Having a conversation with the Lord is simply what prayer is. It's just talking to God. We also know that prayer is essential to bringing heaven down to earth. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 10, to pray like this. Say, Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. John chapter 15, verse 5 says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8 says, The Lord himself goes before you and he will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. So do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. And so we must seek God in all that we do, and he promised to be with us at all times. Therefore, we know it's our responsibility to unite as one in the body of Christ, serving in the purpose that God has created for each and every one of us. Amen. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16, 17, and 18 says, Rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And so we ask your prayers for those who are sick, shut in, hospitalized, incarcerated, you know, for those who received, you know, bad health reports this past week, you know, for those who, you know, have received layoff notices and things like that from their jobs, you know, bad news, you know, you got a phone call that someone's sick or someone's hurt, you know, friends and loved ones, you know, make sure to pray for one another personally that you know. Of course, make sure to pray for yourself. Make sure to pray for all of the children. Make sure to pray for our nation, our world, our leaders on every single level, the many missing and exploited, being trafficked and abused, all of our brothers and sisters in Christ, and all of those who are persecuted for their belief and service to the Lord all over the world. Amen. Our special prayers go out to all of our mothers at Run for Christ Ministries, Mother Cheryl, Mother Louisa, Mother Irma, Mother Marilyn, and Mother Persia, as well as Reverend Richard Overall. Keep him in prayer, as well as Tyrone Hamilton, Pastor John Mack, Elder Joe Stevens and his wife and his family. Also all those in Florida who, you know, lost their loved ones in the condo collapse, and, you know, continue to pray for those whose loved ones are still missing and unaccounted for. All the victims and the families of mass shootings and gun violence and, you know, every other crazy, ridiculous, unnecessary crime that, you know, is plaguing our world on a daily basis. And it's like, it's almost like you can't escape it. You look on social media, you turn on the TV, try to see the weather, and, you know, it's just, it's plaguing us and it's all over. So there's plenty, plenty to pray about, okay? And also we had more rain the other day, And so people were just trying to come from up under the water and the rains that we had a couple weeks ago, and now people are back flooded all over again. So please keep those who are affected from that rainfall in your thoughts and prayers as well. We must pray for all those who are spiritually lost and confused, you know, those who the devil has convinced that God is not who he is. Even Satan knows that God is real, and even he knows the Lord personally. So do not let him trick you out of your relationship with the Lord. Amen. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem," which is your household, "Judea," which is your community, obviously in today's time, "Samaria," outside of your comfort zone, to people and places you would normally associate with or go and be around, "and to the ends of the earth." And those are people and places you would never go around, places you would never go to, just things that you just avoid completely. They need the word of God as well, and it is our job to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ so that no souls are left behind. Matthew chapter 25, verse 41 says that hell is prepared for the devil and his angels, not people, okay? But we know that, unfortunately, some will end up there in eternal torment. This life is short. God is not bound by time, but we are. Psalm chapter 90, verse 12 says, "Teach us to number our days so that we may apply our hearts to wisdom." So don't stand in line and force your way into a place that was not created for you. John chapter 14, verse 3 says that "I am going away," and that "I" is Jesus, okay? "I am going away to prepare a place for you, and I will come back and take you to be with me where I am." Amen? So there is a place for you, and it is not in hell. Amen? Amen. So Psalm chapter 34, verse 18 says, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit." Matthew chapter 5, verse 4 says, "Blessed are those who mourn," excuse me, "for they shall be comforted." Romans chapter 12, verse 15 says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn." 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 says, "But let us not mourn as those who have no hope." Revelation chapter 21, verse 4 says, "He," and that "he" is Jesus, "will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain." All of those things are gone away forever. So when you're sad and you're heartbroken over the loss of a friend or a loved one, or even with the loss that we see, hear, and read about all over the world on a daily basis, use these scriptures as well as many others to give you strength and encouragement that only the Word of God can give you. So with that, excuse me, we ask that you please continue to keep those who are bereaved and hurting in your thoughts and prayers, and we pray God's comfort, healing, love, and peace upon you at all times. Amen. So one of the ways that God meets our needs for companionship is through the church. When we trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior, we become one not only with him, but every other believer. The church is called the body of Christ, and one of its purposes is to meet our needs for person-to-person connection. A spiritual body works much like a human one. Parts are both independent and interdependent, each needing others in order to function well. So to be spiritually and emotionally healthy, we all need support from our brothers and sisters in Christ. In his letter to the Ephesian church, Paul emphasizes Christ-like qualities that make this possible: humility, gentleness, patience, tolerance, and love. He also urges believers to accept one another, Romans chapter 15, verse 7, and to bear one another's burdens. Amen. That's Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. So as you can see, there are many reasons why we are all part of the body of Christ and many reasons why we need one another. You know, we need each other to become our true selves and to bring God glory through the church. "By this, all people will know that you are my disciples," Jesus said, "if you have love for one another." And that's John chapter 13, verse 35. So we are a family of God, a body of Christ that spans the entire earth. We got brothers and sisters all over this world. Amen. So Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16 says that "you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Blessings are not always in the form of money or material things. A kind word goes a very long way. The gift of love is free, and a warm smile is the universal language of kindness. So take time out to be some sunshine to somebody today, because as Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 and 2 says, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters, and do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so you may have entertained angels without even knowing it. Amen. And to our Run for Christ Ministries family, we know we're not together physically, but we are officially counting down to August 1st when we do come together. But until then, we are here together in spirit. And as the Lord says in Matthew chapter 18, verses 19 and 20, I also tell you this, if two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. For where two or three gather together as my followers, I am there among them. And so we know that more than two or three filled with the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ have come together this morning to the Sunday morning worship service here on Blog Talk Radio. And so we thank God in advance for our answered prayers. Amen. Amen. So get rid of your old self, which made you live as you used to, the old self that was being destroyed by its deceitful desires. Your hearts and minds must be made completely new, and you must put on the new self, which is created in God's likeness and reveals itself in the true life that is upright and holy. And that's Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 24, Good News Translation. So your devotional for today, God grows you one step at a time. And this is by Pastor Rick Warren. So good habits take time to develop. Although God could instantly transform you, he has chosen to develop you slowly. This is how you see him work throughout the Bible. God allowed the Israelites to take over the promised land little by little so they wouldn't be overwhelmed. That's Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 22. Jesus was deliberate in developing his disciples. In the same way, God prefers to work in incremental steps in your life. So why does it take so long to change and grow up? Well, there's several reasons. One, we are slow learners. People often have to relearn a lesson 40 or 50 times to really get it. The problems keep reoccurring, and you think, not again. I've already learned that, but God knows better. The history of Israel illustrates how quickly we forget the lessons God teaches us and how soon we revert to our old patterns of behavior. We need repeated exposure. Two, we have a lot to unlearn. Since most of your problems and all of your bad habits didn't develop overnight, it's unrealistic to expect them to go away immediately. There's no pill, prayer, or principle that will instantly undo the damage of many years. It requires the hard work of removal and replacement. The Bible calls it taking off the old self and putting on the new self. And that's spoken about in Romans chapter 13, verse 12, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 24, and Colossians chapter 3, verses 7 through 10 and 14. And number three, growth is often painful and scary. There is no growth without change, no change without fear or loss, and no loss without pain. Every change involves a loss of some kind. People fear these losses. Even if your old ways were self-defeating, they were at least comfortable and familiar, like a worn-out pair of shoes. But good habits take time to develop. Your character is the sum total of your habits. You can't claim to be kind unless you are habitually kind. Your habits define your character. There is only one way to develop the habits of Christ-like character. You must practice them, and that takes time. There are no instant habits. Paul urged Timothy, practice these things, devote your life to them so that everyone can see your progress. And that's 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15. Amen. Amen. God is working on you. Let him take his time, for his timing is always perfect. Amen. Amen. And those are your announcements.
Amen. Thank you for topping that off today, and amen. That put the icing on the cake, as Kathy liked to say.
Hey,
I mean, Kat, amen. I mean, Sister Clyburn.
Right.
People are like, who is Kathy? Who is Kathy?
They know. They don't know. If they don't know, they're going to find out.
I'm telling you. Thank you, Crystal. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Absolutely.
And we shall govern ourselves thereby.
And thereby. Amen.
See you later.
All
amen.
Right.
We thank God for each and every one of you, and I pray that you listen to Crystal's devotion. You know, this life, I don't know how long it was before you got saved or, you know, you developed some habits and you still have the flesh, and the flesh still loves everything in this world. So our walk with God from earth to heaven is going to be, you know, difficult sometimes because we're going to have to deny ourselves. We're going to have to tell our flesh, no, you can't have that like we do our kids. No, you can't have that. That's bad for you. They don't understand that, you know. Why can't I have ice cream for dinner? They don't understand. And see, sometimes, cases 99.9%, we don't understand why God wants that out. But when he showed me, well, if I get that out, then I can bring this in. I say, well, Lord, you should have, amen. But I have to let it go. Here's the key as I come to a close. It's love. It's love for God. He taught me a long time ago that in order for me to be successfully married, that I would have to love my wife so much so that I wouldn't want to hurt her by cheating on her, by beating on her, by not feeding her, not clothing her, or those, any of those kinds of things. I would have to love her like he loves the church. And so coming from sweet G's to that took a lot of sacrifice. I just couldn't see me with one woman. I just couldn't see that. That wasn't even something I could fathom. But I messed up my first marriage, totally tore it up. And then for my second marriage, I went to Jesus to see what he had to say about marriage. And I did it that way. Been married now for 34 years. Amen. So God wants to, I thought sweet Jesus was better. But then it turns out doing relationships Jesus way was a whole lot better. For one, my wife don't throw bricks through my window. She don't scrape the side of the car putting pinstripes in it with a nail or whatever she finds. Amen. She, I don't wake up in the morning and she's standing over me with a pot of grits and a ladle and no plate. Amen. It's a whole lot better than the way it was before. So that's what we're talking about. The Lord wants to give you a new life. Okay? But as Crystal just said in the devotion, it's not going to happen overnight. And Jesus, I'm going to close with this. I want to read you this for those who think Jesus going, you're going to sin so much that Jesus just going to give up on you. Well, here's what the Lord says about that. And I'm certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it's finally finished on the day when Christ returns. So don't sweat yourself or press yourself. But let Jesus work on you and accept the work the potter is doing on you. Let him turn you into whatever it is he has in mind to turn you into. And guess what? When it's all said and done, you're going to want to be that. Amen. God bless you. God keep you. And have yourself a wonderful day. And may the Lord bless you and keep you, and may he make his face to shine on you and give you peace till we all meet again. Amen. God bless you. God keep you. Love every one of you, and I mean that.
Have our second time around, but before you go, there's something I'd like to say. Everything's not what it seems. There's a stronger force behind the scenes. He's in the light every day. He's right there when we call. In him is where my strength lies. I lift my eyes beyond the sky. Only he can save my life, and only he can hear my cry. I wanna thank you, God, for giving me one more day to raise my voice and to sing your praise. I sing it out loud, I sing it all day. This song is my prayer I give to only you. I know it can't compare to the gift from you. You gave me your love. You gave me your son. Oh, oh, oh.
Gave me your love.